Yes, it is once again yours truly, and not the Bobby Mack, but we got him covered now for the rest of this here year, and it's good to have you aboard this afternoon. Thanks very much. 3:06 is the time at 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station, where the Ingalls Advantage talk line is 1-800-347-1063, 1-800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307, 71307. Glad to have you folks on hand this afternoon, because it's always a pleasure to have a chance to chat. We have, just on the pop culture scene, passing along word that Laverne from Laverne and Shirley, director, and Hollywood big shot Penny Marshall, has passed away from complications of diabetes at age 75, and we are sorry to see her passing. She was a presence, be it in front of or behind the camera. A presence certainly in front of the camera of late has been Michael Flynn, and the retired general has now had his sentencing postponed this past day. The federal judge in the case, Emmett Sullivan, called Mr. Flynn's crimes a very serious offense and said he was not hiding his disgust at what Mr. Flynn had done. To quote directly here, "All along you were an unregistered agent of a foreign country while serving as the national security advisor. Arguably that undermines everything that this flag over here stands for. Arguably you sold your country out." Arguably, that gives Flynn another 100 days for what will turn out to be whatever his sentence may be, which could be up to 6 months in prison. Prosecutors have recommended a lenient sentence, which would include the possibility of probation, because Flynn has provided what they call substantial help with multiple criminal inquiries. During the sentencing hearing, Judge Sullivan questioned Flynn and his lawyer about their earlier suggestion that FBI agents might have tricked Flynn by failing to inform him before they interviewed him nearly 2 years ago that lying to them would constitute a federal crime. Flynn told the court he was not challenging the circumstances of the interview and that he knew lying to the FBI was a crime. In doing so, Mr. Flynn distanced himself from the president's efforts to suggest misconduct by the FBI in the investigation by Special Counsel Robert Mueller. So, it's a postponement, an anticlimax, if you will, for the events of the past day, and we will see where this all goes. Flynn, of course, is the highest-ranking aide to Mr. Trump to face sentencing in the Mueller investigation into what began, of course, ostensibly, reportedly, allegedly, as Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election and the Trump campaign. Now, again, there are a lot of areas here, and just so we understand thoroughly, that the Russians attempted to interfere in the election of 2016 and probably 2018 as well, seems to be pretty much a given. Did they succeed? That is entirely questionable. Given all the effort and energy and money that went into the 2016 presidential campaign, anything that may have taken place between the Russians and WikiLeaks and a few Democratic memos that were released was a bug spot on the windshield of that campaign. And, of course, the final point, did the Trump campaign collude with the Russians to alter that campaign? Again, no one's proven that, and B, if they did, collusion would not be a crime. So, we have people all around the president who seem to find ways of getting themselves into trouble, but through it all, it just continues to leave Donald Trump really unscathed at this juncture. The closest thing to scathing of the president would have to be the Michael Cohen situation and the charge of money that was used to pay off women to keep quiet during the 2016 campaign. And again, even there, it was the president's money. So if we were to prove, let's say, collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russians, that would be very stupid, would be very wrong, would not be illegal. And again, if we were to prove that Donald Trump paid off women with his own money, which seems to be pretty much a given, that's not illegal. So we have to understand what's going on here and ask ourselves, are we really talking about a special counsel or somebody who would like to be appointed the nation's morality vigilante? He's getting paid by the Justice Department. He's not getting paid to be our morality vigilante. So 12 minutes now past 3 o'clock on this Tuesday afternoon. Again, I'm sorry for whatever Mr. Flynn did, and I'm sorry that it has affected him in this way, and I would agree that on the face of it, certainly if you are a national security advisor while remaining officially an unregistered agent of a foreign country, that's a conflict of interest. Again, it seems that Robert Mueller is just unable to bracket the president, an old artillery term. He is landing rounds all around him. He doesn't seem to be able to touch the man. There was a movie called The Great Race, and starred Tony Curtis some years ago. I don't know if you saw that movie or not. I think his name was The Great Leslie. The villain in the piece was Jack Lemmon. It was a funny picture. They had a pie fight in that movie, in which pies are flying everywhere. Everyone is getting smashed with all kinds of pies. There is filling and meringue flying everywhere. And through it all walks the Great Leslie in his pure white outfit, not a speck on him. And I had to think of that scene when I think of the president, because goodness knows, in the context of that story, Robert Mueller has been tossing every flavor of pie there is, cherry pie, blueberry pie, you name it. And so far, the president is the Great Leslie, untouched. There's not a speck of blueberry or cherry or any other flavor on the president. And is this where this is going to keep going? Will the president wind up proving that Melania once got an overdue parking ticket? Is he going to prove that Donald Jr. once left an insufficient tip at a restaurant? How far does this go? And does it ever actually prove a crime against the president? I don't know. But for the record, Michael Flynn, there he goes, waiting to see what finally comes out of his sentencing down the road. Probably not a great deal, it would appear, at this juncture. 1-800-347-1063 is the Ingalls Advantage talk line, the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307-71307. And I guess that this thing is going to continue until eventually Robert Mueller will issue his final report in who knows how many more weeks or months, and essentially he will pass along his files, whether officially or unofficially, to Jerry Nadler, the incoming House Chair of the Judiciary Committee, Adam Schiff, the incoming Chair of the House Intelligence Committee, and they'll continue right through to 2020 trying to get pie filling on the Great Leslie. So far, no hits. No hits. 1-800-347-1063, the Ingalls Advantage talk line. Jim Bohannon in for Bobby Mack this Tuesday afternoon. Time now, 3:15. Yeah, me again here. 3:20 is the time on this Tuesday already, Tuesday afternoon. Yeah, 1 week from today, Christmas. Okay, can you believe that? 1 week from today? I don't know. Are you ready? No, I'm not ready either, but hey, I'll do the best I can. I'm sure you will as well. We'll probably talk about that a bit later on this afternoon. But the serious stuff today, of course, March 13th is the new date to put on your Michael Flynn calendar. And, of course, it'll have to be the new 2019 calendar that you will forget to write on all your checks. March 13th is when there will be a joint status hearing, which I guess just means that's when the sentencing will take place. And Robert Mueller has recommended no prison time for Flynn, so it's very possible that if he sings hard enough and says the things that Robert Mueller wants him to say, not that that would be suborning perjury, of course, then maybe he'll get no prison time whatsoever, and he can simply try to put together the shattered pieces of his life in the collateral damage from Robert Mueller's probe that has proven so far nothing of what he was supposed to set out to try and prove. But hey, nobody's perfect, right? 106.3 WORD is the Upstate's talk station. The Ingalls Advantage talk line, 1-800-347-1063, 1-800-347-1063. And the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307, 71307. And check out the text line here for just a moment here. Just a Penny Marshall thought here. If you missed this, Penny Marshall, Laverne from Laverne and Shirley, passed away this past day at age 75 of complications from diabetes. The texter says, Penny Marshall brings back memories of a time when television sitcoms were about humor and not political statements. True. That's true enough. What it would be today, I'm sure, would be something entirely different. But at that time, yes, it was a fun show, which I think is the reason that we tuned in here. This texter says, if everyone around you is being arrested and convicted, what are the odds that you're not also a criminal? The quote, let's see, that's the entire text. Well, first of all, if in fact everyone around you is being arrested and convicted, well, that might well have some bearing. But of course, a tiny handful of people around President Trump have been arrested, and nobody in an open court. I guess one in one case there was a conviction. But the odds therefore drop considerably. There are any number of people around the president who have been totally untouched by anything. And of course, if in fact everyone around you is being arrested and convicted these days, it could very well mean that you have crossed the path of Robert Mueller or some other vigilante who doesn't really care that much about what the law says, as long as we can find something that will stick. And so far, not a great deal that is sticking. But for the Flynn situation, basically the federal judge Emmett Sullivan pretty much accused Flynn of treason, and then he backtracked a bit. The judge offered this delay till March 13th. Flynn lawyers had declined initially, but they changed their mind after the judge said he couldn't guarantee he would not sentence Flynn to jail time. Sullivan was asking the lawyers questions about Flynn's cooperation in a separate case centered on illegal lobbying with Turkey by Flynn Associates. So these all tie back together. So this new hearing is for March 13th. Flynn pled guilty last year to making false statements to the FBI about his contacts with the Russian ambassador. This was in December 2016, while a member of the Trump transition team. Flynn's defenders, of course, say he was set up, which it does appear that he was, whether what he did was right or not. It does certainly appear that he was set up. And they've argued that the agents who interviewed him, including, by the way, Peter Strzok, of all people, urged him to speak to them without a lawyer and never warned him that lying to the FBI was a crime. Well, I think there are a number of lessons here, one of which would be that I think we all know that lying to the FBI is a crime. We've all watched more than one episode of Law and Order. We get that. But I don't know that I would care to speak to the FBI without a lawyer. The way things are going, if there's even a hint of something that would be considered, shall we say, questionable about me, say I'm just a witness to something, I think I would tend to lawyer up around the FBI if I was in any way connected with this administration. That's what they brought on themselves. Fired FBI Director James Comey has admitted that it was not standard protocol to interview such an official without White House counsel. Yeah, well, standard protocol might get in the way of trying to nail somebody. Comey said he thought the FBI could get away with it because it was the early days of the Trump administration. What kind of a guideline is that, that you could, quote, get away with something? At the White House press briefing this past day, the White House press briefing, Sarah Huckabee Sanders cited Comey to back the White House insistence that the FBI ambushed Flynn. Getting away with something hardly seems like the basis for the proper way to conduct an investigation. In the hearing this past day, Judge Sullivan scolded Flynn regarding what he called his very serious false statement plea, asked prosecutors if the former Trump official could have been charged with treason. The judge told Flynn again, arguably, you sold your country out, but Sullivan later insisted that he wasn't suggesting Flynn committed treason and explained that he was just curious. Interesting choice of words for a judge who is just curious. All right. Prosecutors say that after looking at the definition of treason, we have no reason to believe that he committed treason. That's good to know. I'm sure Mr. Flynn is happy to know that as well. He's cooperating with the prosecution, according to prosecutors, regarding a separate charge of illegally lobbying for Turkey without properly registering under the Foreign Agent Registration Act. Well, that's pretty serious business. And certainly, if you have any kind of lobbying capacity, and you become an advisor to a president, especially on national security issues, I would hope that it would be just as obvious as it is that lying to the FBI will get you in trouble. It would be just as obvious to say, whatever you're doing, you wrap it up. You call the Turks and say, we're done, and you inform the White House, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon, I was a lobbyist for Turkey. You'd be very upfront about this. This is a serious area, and it should be. It should be a serious area. Flynn, by the way, was fired in February of 2017, serving less than a month as National Security Advisor after misleading Vice President Pence and other White House officials about his contacts with the Russian ambassador. So to say that he played this game fast and loose would be unfortunately true. To suggest that, in fact, again, this applies anything to the president himself, it's just landing all around the president, but not on him. Not on him. Let's see. Sorry, Jimbo, the real treason sits at the feet of Barack Obama and the Clintons, for sure. I certainly see the basis for Barack Obama having been impeached and convicted, if anybody had bothered to try. For the Clintons, yeah, I think you could apply the term treason to the Clintons. I really do. All right, Jimbo in for Bobby Mack, and it's now 3:29. Happy to have you aboard this afternoon. Good to have a chance to chat with all. And incidentally, we should, by the way, take note of the fact that you can subscribe to receive 106.3's daily download, and you could win a family four-pack of tickets to see the Swamp Rabbits play the Atlanta Gladiators at Bon Secours Wellness Arena January the 18th. Subscribing is free and easy. Just you can fill out the form at 106.3WORD and be automatically entered. Winner be drawn, notified on Wednesday, January 16th. So stay up to date on local and national news from the Upstate's talk station. And as an added bonus, you get the family four-pack of tickets for the Swamp Rabbits playing the Atlanta Gladiators if you win the drawing. So it's a pretty good deal any way you slice it. So go to 1063WORD.com and check it out. By the way, don't forget that on Christmas Eve, from 7 p.m. right on through Christmas Day, 1063WORD is proud to be presenting Mannheim Steamrollers and American Christmas, 29 straight hours of the stories and legends surrounding the holiday, featuring some of the most popular new and traditional Christmas music, all hosted by Chip Davis of Mannheim Steamroller. I've interviewed Chip on many an occasion. It'll be a fascinating period of time. That'll start again Christmas Eve at 7 p.m. and all the way through Christmas Day right here at 106.3 WORD. Jim Bohannon in for Bobby Mack for the rest of this year, and looking forward to a chance to chat with all out there as we have, of course, the Ingalls Advantage talk line, 1-800-347-1063, 1-800-347-1063, and the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307, 71307. Texting at us this afternoon here, if any group has sold out the country, it would be the members of the coup to overthrow the executive branch, Mueller, Hillary, Rosenstein, Comey, Obama, Strzok, Page, etc. Certainly, there is no question about the fact that the efforts that are underway have not as much to do with the law as they have to do with, well, coup is not a bad term, I'm sorry to say. Unfortunate. But when you are unhappy with an election result and you can't wait till the next go-around and try to do a better job of persuading the electorate, then, yeah, coup is a word that comes to mind. Another texter says, I would have had a 6-foot, 8-inch size orange jumpsuit waiting on smug James Comey when he walked out. Comey is a rather remarkable individual. First of all, smug applies to him perfectly. That's an awful lot of smug, and more than a touch of arrogance involved there. Comey has, of course, if he were ever allowed any really serious power, an FBI director was more than he should have had, there's no telling what he would do. His sense of personal virtue and rightness is higher than most any person you'll run into, even inside the Beltway, which is, that's saying a lot. So there seems to be no question about the fact that this is a man who, in some instances, I think he's devoted to the law. But I think if you're talking about people he really doesn't like, he's willing to ignore it. I really do. Or if you're talking about people he does apparently like Hillary, after he read off that list of all the reasons why she should be indicted and then said, but no reasonable prosecutor would do that. James Comey is a curious case. And of course, if he were simply just Joe Blow, James Comey, that's all he'd be, just very curious. But for a person who has exercised considerable authority and who still exercises considerable levels of influence, he goes way beyond curious. He becomes, in my view, actually dangerous. Interesting question posed by this texter. Why would the Russians choose the current elections to begin interfering? Who's to say they haven't interfered in past elections? I'm sure they've tried. I have no doubt that they have tried. I'm sure that from day one, from the moment that the Soviet Revolution had things more or less under control back in the Soviet Union, and they would look outside their borders, particularly after World War II, my guess would be that the Soviets have had a desire to have such an influence in every election probably since 1948. Of course, they have not had the technical means to have a major impact, and again, they've often faced other considerations, like expanding their empire in Eastern Europe, for example, waging the proxy war in Afghanistan, and a number of other issues. But I'm sure that they have, and of course, as technology gradually handed them instruments to have an impact, yeah, I would dare say that it's highly likely that they've had such an impact. They probably tried again in 2018. Again, how much of an impact? No one's been able to show that it is substantial. Certainly, there's no one who's been able to show that, for example, they changed vote totals or that they determined the outcome of an election. Again, that they tried, probably I would take it as a given that they probably have. But that they had any success is highly questionable. And that the Trump campaign colluded with the Russians in that regard. Again, totally unproven, even if it were to be illegal. Jimbo, do you think that they would have done this if there was a President Cruz? To a certain extent, yeah, you've seen the Democratic Party shift so far to the left that anybody who was a conservative, even a long-time principled conservative, or a Donald-come-lately conservative like Donald Trump, to a certain extent, they would go after any conservative president. I think that's the new mentality of the up-and-comers in the Democratic Party. I really do. Yeah, I think they would have gone after a Cruz. Now, you have to look at the individual personalities here. Of course, Donald Trump never met a confrontation he didn't relish, which I know endears him to his base. Sometimes he picks fights that he doesn't need and creates problems and gives his enemies opportunities they wouldn't otherwise have. Ted Cruz, arguably, is the least popular member of the U.S. Senate. I mean, a lot of people just don't like Ted Cruz, and that includes Republicans. He's a rather abrasive individual. I personally have not met the man, but I certainly know a lot of people who have, and even principal conservatives, people who would vote for him, don't particularly like him. So a President Cruz would probably have found ways to get the left on his case as well. But even somebody who is smoother, let's say, than a Cruz or a Donald Trump, they would get on his case. Would they get on his case to this extent? Probably not. My guess would be that if you were experienced with and familiar with the ways of government, that in many cases you would not have fallen prey to some of these things. You would have known, for example, to have asked a Michael Flynn about any contacts that he had like this. This should have been discovered and caught long before Flynn was ever considered. The moment it was found out that Flynn was in fact acting as an agent of the Turks, and it should have been asked, then the answer should have been, well, we thank you for your service to your country, General, but we're going to have to pass on National Security Advisor, not because he would not be an effective one or would not know what he was doing, but simply because that is baggage that you don't need to have around. And avoiding baggage is something that comes with experience in Washington. And, of course, in the last election, we decided as a public that experience didn't matter. And when you don't have that experience, and sometimes you wind up clearing a minefield by putting on a blindfold and snowshoes and stomping forward. So I suspect that there were more than a few mistakes in personnel decisions that would have been avoided by a more experienced president, such as in the case of your text, a President Cruz. All right, let's see another text. The Russians had more success with their attempted hacking our election than anyone gave them credit for. Look at how they have now paralyzed our country. Well, the charges have had some such impact. We don't know the extent to which they actually succeeded. The fact that they tried, I take as a given, and I don't think we're paralyzed because of it. We're just unhappy with the results. Time now, 3:45. Jimbo in for Bobby Mack at 106.3 WORD. Good afternoon. Good to have you with us this afternoon at the Bobby Mack Show here, the Ingalls Advantage Talk Line. 1-800-347-1063, 1-800-347-1063, and let us take a call from Joni in Easley. Hello, Joni. Oh, Joni is not with us. I apologize for that, Joni. Sorry we didn't get to you earlier. All right. Looking out over the notion of... Well, she was going to bring up an interesting point of a GoFundMe for the wall. I will address what Joni was going to bring up because I think it's worth noting. Why not a GoFundMe for the wall? Why not? Again, how much would it take? You talk about $5 billion. Okay, there are the third of a billion people in this country, roughly. A little under a third of a billion people. If everybody gave $15, of course that'd be every man, woman, and child in the country, obviously an impossibility, but if everybody gave $15, you would you'd have your $5 billion. So let's say if a substantial number of people gave, let's say, $50 of the people who voted, let's say, for President Trump in the 2016 election, you'd certainly be in multiples of billions, yeah. So GoFundMe, I think, has a possibility. You can always volunteer to pay taxes. That's a given. If you want to pay extra taxes, you can do that. And that's essentially what this would be paying extra taxes. So, yeah, I think there's no question about the fact that you could do something there. How much? That's the question that I think is pretty unclear at this juncture. How much would you be willing to pay? Let's face it, as a general rule, people don't volunteer to pay taxes. I happen to think the wall is very critical. I would, if there was a mechanism out there and I could be reasonably certain it wasn't a scam and it was, in fact, legit, and that the money would be, in fact, given to the government, I would donate. And, of course, that assumes that the money that you can give, and I don't know the answer to this, but if you donate money, can you volunteer to pay extra taxes that you earmark for a particular cause? I don't know how that works. I just don't know whether it would just go into general revenue and be wasted on the Department of Energy paperclip budget. I don't know, but I'd be willing to do that if I thought that I could actually help fund the wall. It'd be worth my while. Usually, there are two reasons why we volunteer to pay taxes, of course. One is vanity license plates, and the other is state lotteries, which, of course, if you play the lotteries long enough, unless you get awfully, awfully lucky, the fact of the matter is that you do not win over time. You are volunteering to pay taxes. You, of course, are doing so because it's fun, it's recreation. And that's fine. If you get a kick out of gambling, well, hey, then it's like spending money to go to the movies or something. But you're not going to win. So if there was a mechanism by which we could donate money and help pay for the wall, yes, I would absolutely take part in that. But, boy, there are a lot of ifs involved in there. And number one, of course, would be some kind of assurance that, in fact, the money was going to go where you wanted it to go. It did not get siphoned off for a scam, if the whole thing was just a scam, or if there wasn't immense overhead. You know, like for every dollar you gave, 70% of it went to the people running the GoFundMe campaign. That wouldn't be any good. And then finally, if it actually all went to Uncle Sugar, could you guarantee that the government would spend it the way you wanted to? Most of us aren't interested in just giving extra dough to the government. If we did it, we would be interested in making sure it went to what we particularly wanted. And I'm not sure how that would work, frankly. You can give volunteer taxes, but I don't think you can earmark it, at least not effectively. I don't think so. Let's see here. Texter here. Flynn sold his country out just like his boss, Cadet Bonespurs. That's referring to Donald Trump's deferment. And then he says, MAGA, Make America Great, exclamation point, lock him up, Trump 2020 for obstruction, 20 for money laundering and fraud from the Never Trumper. Well, I'm sure he gets his jollies having us read this drivel, but what the heck. If you could prove any of that, that, of course, would be entirely different. But obviously it's just so much slinging of BS to which, let's put it this way, at least Robert Mueller is making a concerted effort to prove these things. He's not just slinging. He's really trying to nail him, and so far he's been unable to, so I doubt that you're going to really weigh in sufficiently here. Hi, Jimbo. Comey's statement regarding the Clinton investigation was his as director of the FBI opinion and recommendation not to prosecute Hillary Clinton. That's very true. It was his recommendation. It's absolutely true, which, A, it really wasn't his business to recommend, and B, he made a solid case to do exactly the opposite of what he recommended, which wasn't any of his business. As the texter goes on to say, ultimately it's up to the Department of Justice to press charges against her based on the FBI investigation of facts and not opinions. Yeah, why have charges not been levied against her? Why have charges, in fact, not been levied against Hillary Clinton? For the life of me, I don't know. I don't know. There is considerable evidence out there on a variety of fronts, starting with the Clinton Foundation, arguably the biggest boondoggle in terms of money in the history of the country, bigger than the Teapot Dome scandal of a century ago, which almost brought down the Warren Harding administration. Why? I don't know. We've had now Donald Trump in office for close to 2 years. Why have charges not been brought against Hillary? The email scandal, her behavior and handling of the emails. This, in and of itself, was criminal behavior. If again, with my top secret clearance in the military, not as high as the Secretary of State, but high enough, I would have been sent to Fort Leavenworth to bust rocks if I'd done a tenth of what she did. But then again, my name isn't Clinton. The Uranium One deal. There are so many ways in which charges could have been brought against Hillary Clinton. For the life of me, I don't know why. You pose the $64,000 question. I have no idea. It simply makes no sense whatsoever. Let's see. Another texter says, Jimbo, never Trumper, always slings BS. He usually calls in, though. Well, okay, either way, he's welcome to at 1-800-347-1063, 1-800-347-1063. That's our Ingalls Advantage talk line where you can yak up a storm if you so wish to do here. Jimbo, the USA has been trying to influence elections in other countries for decades through our Voice of America radio programs, where we beam our propaganda into closed countries. Yeah, we beam the actual news. The standards at the Voice of America are very high. They actually do, in fact, beam the truth and not just propaganda. So who should be investigated for this violation of the sovereignty of those countries? Nobody. Nobody. You cannot draw some kind of moral... a parity between a closed dictatorial regime and the United States of America. All right, more to come.